Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and welcome to another Us Lifting Us Dare to Win call. We're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And every week, we certainly strive to bring you some vital information that's necessary for us to have clarity and to go forward and do all the essentials to achieve total freedom and liberation for our people and for our homelands, wherever that may be. And tonight we have another very, very vital topic. Wars being waged on our people has never stopped. And the subject tonight is a very, very serious matter. And the topic is our children's music. And I am Brother Thurman, an Us Lifting Us member. And joining me is Sister Q, also an Us Lifting Us member. Sister Q, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Brother Thurman. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you and thank all of the family that's on the telephone line as well as by internet radio. And very anxious to have you to share this vital information about our children's music. And before we get started, I'd like to say to the listening audience, you can listen to us by telephone and also by internet radio. And you can go to usliftingus.com or www.usliftingus.com. And when it opens up, you go to the home page and you listen, look for the tab up at the top that says Ulu Radio. And when the page switches, you click on the tab on the lower level that says Listen Live, and you'd be able to listen by internet radio. And while we're carrying on this conversation, we certainly want you to take notes, and we also want you to participate in any vital comments, concise comments or questions. Please press the number one on your telephone, and we would put you in the queue, and we would invite you into the studio to participate in the conversation. And at this time, Sister Q,
yes.
Let's get busy with this very, very vital subject, our children's music. And Please tell us what made you come up with this evening's topic, our children's music.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. On the 8th of June, Brother Ankti did a Dare to Win program, and the topic of his program was, "And How Are the Children?" One of our listeners called in and said that we can tell how our children are by listening to their music. The caller seemed to suggest that we can tell our children are not doing well based on the music that is played on, we'll say, the commercial airwaves, that is to say, on television and radio primarily. So after I thought about his comment for a while, it occurred to me that what is being played on the commercial airwaves is not really our children's music at all. It is weaponized sound being given to some of our children by those who seek to destroy us. So just as what we have to say here on Dare to Win is not the same kind of material that is heard on the commercial airwaves, our children's, our actual children's actual music is not heard on the airwaves either. And we should not expect it to be. What we think of as our children's music is another example of fifth generation warfare. So when I'm talking about that, our children's music, that's what's on the commercial radio, you know, commercial radio, the music videos, commercial one, commercial TV, all of that is part of the fifth generation warfare, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you. Powerful in terms of really ingesting and giving some deep thought to what you just expressed. I had the thought come to me, how many people of our sisters and brothers actually carry on a conversation about our children's music from a perspective of its warfare versus just casually just let it go on?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for that.
For sure.
And how can music be an example of fifth generation warfare?
Okay, to begin with, I'm going to quote our attorney at war, Alton Maddox, and he reminds us that everything that crackers are involved in is about war and war only. Whether you understand that or not, you can't read a comic strip without being affected by warfare. Donald Duck is war. Mickey Mouse is war. Everything that white folks got out there is war. If you missed that point, you missed everything. They are a warring people or warring creatures. So as we discussed in previous programs, in fifth generation warfare, the battlefield is the mind. And I'm going to go back to the Department of Defense U.S. Army Field Manual on PSYOPs or psychological operations, which are defined as any form of communications in support of objectives to influence the opinions, emotions, attitudes, or behavior of any group in order to benefit the sponsor, either directly or indirectly. Then we have, there's an abstract that I found for the patent. It's patent number 6017302A. You can look it up if you care to. And the title of the patent is Subliminal Acoustic Manipulation of the Nervous System. And it was granted in 1997. And in the first line of the abstract for this patent, it says, in human subjects, sensory resonances can be excited by subliminal atmospheric acoustic pulses that are tuned to the resonance frequency. So that means you can have a frequency and direct this the sound subliminally, which means you wouldn't be able to hear it, but they can direct the sound and cause people to do different things based on what sound they use. So they can cause excitement, they can cause tiredness, they can cause various different behaviors just based on the subliminal sound that is being projected out. And what we understand is this is being, this subliminal resonance is being, is part of the so-called music that we hear. Now, so music is a primary form of communications. We tend not to think of it in that regard, which is why it is one of the reasons that weaponized sound generally goes undetected. If you're not thinking of it in the purpose that the other party is thinking of it as, then they can use it against you because you're just thinking of it as a good time. And they've decided they can make your good time, your means of having a good time, they can make it into something that can cause you harm.
That's a real horror story, Sister Q.
Beg pardon?
I say it's a real horror story. As I'm listening to you, and they've got this documented, and we can go and look it up. Not something that's being made up. Family members, please listen deeply and pass it on to your family and your friends. And do not forget that tonight's call will be archived on Blog Talk Radio that you can come back and listen to and share it with your family and friends. And please do that. And you'll be there in the next 2 or 3 days at least. And go back and listen again, but listen with some of your family members, sisters and brothers, because we need to know this, that what this music is doing to the children and therefore our people and also therefore our future. And it's definitely like other things in war, interrupting with our of us even being in the mindset to achieve total liberation and being able to maintain that. Also, once again, family members, you can reach us by telephone line by pressing the number 1 on your telephone and with your concise questions or comments by pressing the number 1 on your telephone. Sister Q, continuing on, why do you refer to what we hear on the commercial airways as weaponized sound?
I will answer that by saying our ancestors recognized that sound, what we call music and what we call speech, both of those ways, sound has a strong impact on us. They were very careful in what they said to one another, and they were careful how they said it. The songs that they had were carefully crafted with the sounds, the tone, the music tones, and the words that maintained balance and harmony. They were very much aware that music can be a means of keeping themselves well by itself or with other things like movement, fragrances, even architecture was like a form of visual sound. Like you, you've heard of cymatics, which is where like they put sand or some other powdery substance on a flat surface, and then they play a tone. And based on what tone is played, the substance will become a shape. And generally, if it's a good pure tone, it becomes like a crystal. And these shapes were generally used to as a form of architecture. They incorporated that into their architecture. So our ancestors were also very aware that the sound could be used to do great harm. However, they were not interested in using sound to harm each other. Their primary goal was in order, like we would say, my art, to keep balance, keep harmony, keep everything flowing smoothly. So now we have in our world the music industrial complex. And I call it that because it is a major part of the United States war machine. And it has not only decided to come up with harmful lyrics, but they've modulated the music tones themselves so that the music is out of balance and it's out of harmony. So what is coming from the commercial airways is meant to destroy us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and that is why I call it weaponized sound.
Wow. Don't have enough words to respond to what you just spoke about, what you just read. And as you were speaking, I was thinking, just, I don't know what the number is or what number of our people or even have a clue of what you just talked about. Meant to destroy us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Weaponized sound. In the meantime, today, and I would choose for it not to be the case tomorrow, but tomorrow there'll be folks riding around, some of them riding around in cars with their children, playing that weaponized music that's to destroy us.
For sure.
All right. Family members, please be taking notes. And as I said, make sure you share it with your family and sisters and brothers. Sister Q, how did today's music get to be what it is, weaponized sound?
This year, we're going to talk primarily about hip-hop because most of us are exposed to hip-hop to some degree. So this year, 2023, is recognized as the 50th anniversary of the birth of hip-hop. Now, a lot of people that are into hip-hop classify hip-hop as more than a music. They classify it as a culture because it has, a dress code. It has ways of behavior that it is expected from people in the hip-hop nation. So we're going to think of hip-hop as the way it was initially, as it grew to be, let's say, 40 years ago, because, let's say, it took 10 years for the development of the full hip-hop nation. Okay, so let's see. Some of us remember when hip-hop first came out. It was called music with a message, music that is good for the soul. Our children were challenging each other to know their history and to enhance their to enhance their language skills, you know, with the, I forgot what they called it, but they, you know, they had the competitions where who could spit the best, you know. So hip-hop also fostered a sense of race pride. You had, remember the X Caps, which were in honor of Malcolm X. Excuse me. That was part of basically the official hip-hop dress code. And they spoke about taking proper care of the body through diet, exercise. They were into, you know, studying the history of our people and sharing it with each other. So all of these things were discussed in the music. Remember how women were greatly respected in the music, and there were songs that were just, you know, just fun songs, that good, clean fun. Okay, so that's what hip-hop started out to be. Now they're saying that the CIA created hip-hop. I say that the CIA did not create hip-hop. The CIA hijacked hip-hop. Hip-hop's message went from race pride to race destruction. The message began to glamorize crime, drugs, even during jail time. You know, the music industrial industry used hip-hop as a driving force to fill up the privatized prisons that the music companies owned stock in. So that is one of the reasons that you began to see a change in the flavor of the music, because when the music initially, hip-hop was kind of like, we might say underground, but, you know, it was just among us, so to speak. But when it came to the notice of the music industry, they saw an opportunity to use it for other means, other things. And so they began to offer children outrageous amounts of money to, so to speak, change the lyrics, change the tone of the music. And then that's when you begin to have the gangster rap and all the stuff about shooting up people and doing drugs and selling drugs and how much money they made selling drugs. And it began to glamorize the life of crime. So I think that's one example of how music went from being a race pride mechanism to a very destructive force. And it was not our children actually that did that themselves. It was the interjection of the music industry, because they had stock in the prisons, and at that time, remember, they were beginning to privatize prisons. So the music industry had stock in the prisons, and in order to make make profits, they had to fill the prisons up. So they used the music to encourage a kind of behavior that would fill up the prisons.
Oh, that is very revealing, and I thank you for giving us that clarity about the beginnings of hip-hop and what happened when the others, intruders, the interrupters came in and hijacked hip-hop. And you mentioned how they began to glamorize crime, drugs, and even doing jail time, glamorizing that. What are some of the ways that this is done?
Okay, so remember that in fifth generation warfare, the battlefield is the mind. So we're dealing with perception manipulation here. It is not for nothing that we are told it's a world stage. What we are seeing are actors playing characters, and we mistake the characters as the real people. So, for example, we have, and they generally will tell you the name of the actor who is playing the character, but they don't say it out in that way, so we don't see the separation. Okay, so example, we have an actor named Curtis Jackson. I forget his whole full name, Curtis something Jackson III, who plays a character called 50 Cent. And 50 Cent started out poor. He got shot 9 times. He survived, and he went on to make it big in the entertainment industry. We also have, and I'm not going to name all the characters or actors because I don't know them all. I'll just name a couple of the ones that we know their name, you know, that are commonly known. So we have another actor named Sean Carter, who plays a character called Jay-Z. Jay-Z is also made it big in the entertainment industry after starting out poor and being a drug dealer. There are others, there are so many of them, that blew up in the music industry after allegedly spending time in jail for dealing drugs or for shooting someone or for being shot at or something, you know, like they have a criminal record. This was, so they have street, what they call street cred, so that the people listening to the music really think that they actually had this kind of lifestyle, but basically most of them did not. They were just there. The character, that's the background for the character, but the actor playing the character didn't actually go through all that stuff, okay? But then we have talented young men, like some young women too, who hear these stories, story after story, of these people who made it big in the entertainment industry after they were selling drugs or they got shot or they shot somebody or whatever all of this criminal activity is they've supposedly been engaged in. And these young, impressionable people think this is a career path for their rise to fame and wealth. And instead, what happens to them is they get caught up in the prison industrial complex or they wind up dead. And that was actually the purpose. That was why the music companies started with this particular type of music. So the kids would wind up listening to the music. They would hear the story of the life of these characters and think that if they wanted to be rich and famous, then this is the kind of life they had to live. And so they would do that, wind up dead, or making the record industry rich through their stock value going up in the privatized prisons. So that's one of the ways that that was done.
Okay. Ooh, so much to be said about this. I'm just amazed how our people could tolerate it. It kind of reminds me of a sister that wrote years ago that in so many words, they treat us brutally. And we act like we enjoy it, so they have no incentive to stop doing it. You know, when it comes to what you've said to us tonight and the last things that you talked about, are you saying that our children do not have music, Sister Q?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Our children absolutely do have their own music. And thing is that I think part of the programming has been that we have been, you know, what they now call a generation gap. And now, you know, they even label the different generations, you know, the baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Gen Z, the millennials, and they separate people into categories. And so generally, we don't know where to look for the children's music, okay? So I think we can find it online sometimes, like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and these other online platforms where they will put up their music to share with others. And before the shutdown in 2020, the children, many of them had their own venues where they would perform for each other and sometimes for the community. As society opens back up, I think that these venues will once again, you know, come back online, and if they haven't already done so, I don't know at that point. Even when we, the so-called conscious community, when we gather, we used to get to hear some of our children's authentic music. And I think as Ulu grows and we develop our cultural centers, there will be space where the children can have more control over presenting their music to the community. I think because if I understand your vision correctly, Brother Thurman, the cultural centers will be open when we say they're open, so to speak. So there can be a space in there for maybe the musicians to come and create their music in the cultural center itself. They can, when we have programs, they can come and present their programs to us instead of having to go to other clubs or whatever to present their music. They can present it in a space in the cultural center. And I think it seems to me that the music is not just straight up music anymore. It's like multimedia kind of presentations and stuff. So you have the spoken word and you'll have just the, I shouldn't say just the music, but, you know, the music, the songs and so on and so forth, the dance and everything that we used to do, you know, around cultural communication. And recognizing that music is a very important part of our communication system, and go with it from there.
I agree.
Did I get your vision right?
Oh, yes. We absolutely need the cultural centers right now. Every day we need to have the cultural centers and bringing in some genuine, authentic music that's not been manipulated by others, and conscious raising music and spiritually inspirational music and everything that we are capable and that we, the original people, created. We created everything. spirit music, healing music. We were doing, I don't know what the word is, I can't think of it anyway, toning, you know, as ways of healing people that had illnesses and things like that through musical ways, with voice as well as with instruments, such as the drum. I want to encourage the family members. This is still like we generally are bringing subjects that's vital to our community and to help our people to have greater and higher level clarity. And a lot of what you've presented so far, Sister Q, is saying that the invaders, the war, the people that are waging this war against us around the clock, they are busy, busy, busy studying ways that they can manipulate music and us and have us, as you mentioned earlier, to be some of us in the mindset to be okay with crime and doing harm to their own mind, body, as well as to be destructive against them and even take the life of sisters and brothers. And what I'm trying to get to is they spend a whole bunch of energy and a bunch of money included studying how they can do this, wage this war against them. And if we're so busy doing other things on a lower level, for example, and shopping and buying shoes and listening to that music and rapping that music and rapping the words and the language that's destructive, you know, committing cultural genocide from what they injected into our community, and they're spending their time, you know, just to do us harm and lock us up and get us killed and get us to hate ourselves, and we should be stepping up to be more of us would have the clarity of the information that you have brought to us so far this evening. And once again, family members, definitely encourage you to share this with your family, with the sisters and brothers in the community, and it will be in the Blog Talk archives for July the 27th, 2023, in 2 or 3 days. Sister Q, we've got a caller that wants to put a question or comment. Do you want to take a pause and get the caller?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thank you.
All right. Caller with the last four numbers, 3440, 3440, please give us your name and where you're calling from and with your brief question or comment.
Yes, greetings, Brother Thurman, Sister Q. This is Brother Shabaka calling from South Florida. Got a comment, or really a question and a comment, but a really fascinating program. I was listening to a program earlier today. Actually, it was a rebroadcast. And, you know, the sister and the brothers who were on the program, you know, I usually listen to them, you know, relatively regularly. But I was amazed that they were dismissing some of the impact of something that you were talking about earlier, the impact on our minds, the new battlefield, sort of. And that they, you know, they were saying, well, the FBI, you know, this is what they were saying. This was relative to some of the things, the new phenomena that we see happening and destructive behavior that we see happening in the community. They dismissed that was influenced or could be influenced by security or intelligence agencies and stuff like that, which amazed me, you know, knowing that they're quite aware of the COINTELPRO. So it seems like, here's my question. It seems like there's some education that needs to happen. How do you see us incorporating it, or do you think that it needs to be incorporated if it's not already incorporated? So tell me how you see the incorporation in ULU structure or plan. Do you see that to deal with what we normally might dismiss, or some of us might dismiss? that we shouldn't dismiss. Do you see that being incorporated? Do you see it incorporated, I guess, is my question.
Thank you for the question, Brother Shabaka. It is going to have to be incorporated, I think, because the effect of what is being done is that we tend to have distrust for each other. We don't want to work with each other. We are short patient with each other. So it needs to be incorporated so we can understand what game is being played to get us to fight among ourselves and to not come together, so to speak. And you mentioned the people that you were listening to on the radio. There are a class of people that are referred to as gatekeepers, and it is alleged that their job, so to speak, is to divert people who are getting close to the truth about what all is going on. Now, I'm not saying that these people are exactly gatekeepers. They actually may not know. But there are people who do know. And whenever somebody brings the subject up, their job is to say, oh, no, that's not happening. You know, no, the CIA didn't do that, you know, or no, the CIA didn't hijack hip-hop. Hip-hop was, those were a bunch of thugs anyway, you know, all kind of stuff like that to divert, again, because it's perception manipulation. You've got to keep you thinking in a particular way so that you'll do, so you'll see things the way we want you to see them, and then you will behave in the way that is detrimental to you and beneficial to us. So I see it. It should be something, you know, even wherever our people meet, we should have a way to talk about this, but we apparently don't anymore because so many of our organizations and gathering places have been hijacked as well, so that if the subject is brought up, it's brought up as to say, no, it's not happening. People are just making stuff up. You know, that's just the key. She's a conspiracy theorist. Thank you very much. You know, or whatever. So I just hope that answers your question. And if not, you can ask it another way and I'll see what I can do for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, you did answer the question.
Okay, thank you, Brother Shabaka, and that's a very vital question, and we could spend some time delving into the proper answers question. Sister Q, we also have another caller that I want to get to. Caller, what the last four numbers, 7204. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your questions or comments. If you're still there at 7204.
Yes, I had. Good evening. How y'all doing? This is Deborah from Richmond, Virginia. Can you hear me?
Good.
Yes. Peace. How are
okay.
You?
How you doing? I'm calling. I'm asking one question first. I want to know, you think they're just dealing with rap music trying to get to us, or you think maybe they're trying to get to us through other music too?
Say that again. I didn't.
I said, do
ask
you think
your question
just
again.
Do you think they're just using rap music to get to us, or do you think they're using other music too?
I think they're using all kinds of music.
Okay.
I think
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I think it's every music.
Okay, great. Okay. Because, see, I have a problem with somebody calling me a devil, a demonic, a sheep, or something like that. I think that if a child is told that they was a sin from birth, it would have big problems on them, huge problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that has been a big problem for our community, because we don't trust each other because of that. We're not supposed to even deal with anybody outside of the church. We can't unite.
True.
If people, that to me is the worst thing that has ever happened to us.
Mm.
It has divided us completely, all
right.
Religions. Okay, and it got the nerve to tell us that our ancestors are devils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we honor theirs all over on money and everything else, statues and everything else. All the devils. What impact you think that did to our children? That's why they love the white doll.
For sure.
And not the black doll.
And remember, it's a lot of subliminal messaging that is going on. So even if you have a message that appears to be of a positive nature, the subliminal messaging is the opposite. So that is another reason that sometimes you think that you are presenting the best information to the child, because what you see them seeing says one thing, but the subliminal message is something altogether different.
Exactly.
So it actually comes down to we need to control the whole shot. You know, everything.
Exactly.
The books that are written, how the books are printed, you know, paper that's used, we need to control all of that. In the music industry, we need to do all of, you know, control it from the bottom to the top. Because in brother, I can't think of the brother's name right now, Bobby Hennett, he talks about how the musicians would tell him how they would lay down their tracks, and when they were finished, they could not go back into the studio to do anything, but somebody else came in after them and did something to their music. So I'm thinking that the people that came in after were the ones laying down the subliminal tracks. You wouldn't consciously hear it, but the message is going into your brain, and so then the children are acting out. And then please don't forget that in this day, beyond the music, now we have the the effects of the shots that people were being given the past 2 years that they say have. I have a neurological effect too. So,
the COVID.
You know, you got the music driving them crazy and the shots driving them crazy and everything like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that medicine, that's another field that people need to watch out for, that medical field.
For sure.
Because they're really screwing people up.
Thank you, Sister Deborah.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good one.
Thank you. Peace.
And Sister Q, I'd like to add her question about was it just hip-hop or rap music?
and say that absolutely, as following what you said, Sister Q, in response to her question, it's every avenue that they can use against us. And recently I read a post by a brother, a very highly skilled brother that's a blues musician. His name is Corey Harris, and he's been involved for a long, long time and studied the ancestors and elders that came before him. But he mentioned that in the music industry, he was approached more than once. The problem might have been a year or more apart, whatever the length of time between the first time and the second time. But they wanted him to play his music. And because he was wise, among the things that they were demanding, and he's had long locks for a long time. Mm-hmm. And their requirements, which was more than one, but one of them was that he would cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first approached him, and it could be something that could have been financially lucrative, but he absolutely said no. And then sometime later, they approached him again, and he also, the stipulation was still about cutting his hair. And he said no. And that's music. And long before hip-hop and people even being acquainted with widespread and people using the term rap music, in many situations, including the church, you know, in the church hymn book, there's a song called and Black Folks That I Have Known in My Lifetime, and some still, as far as I know, would still sing it. Title and the words is "Make Me Whiter Than Snow, O Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing the damage that they have done to manipulate our brain that we could go along with such things. And we're under attack, and you brought it so very, very well. And family members, once again, please, please, please share this with your family. Share it with sisters and brothers. It's going to be on the Blog Talk in the archives that you can go back and review this and make note of the patterns and everything that Sister Q has brought forth, real information that's been has been organized and still being implemented to just mess us up and cause us all kinds of harm to our spiritual, mental, physical health, as Sister Q mentioned in the article she was reading, and to have us kill each other, go to jail, and all of those crazy things that's the results of being socialized, tricked and deceived into this Europeanized madness, like the last poet said. Sister Q, I'll stop right there. Any other things that you want to add to the people tonight about this subject of our children's music?
I think I want to suggest that people look into some of the work. I forget the guy's full name. It's Emoto, E-M-O-T-O. It's a Japanese man that did the study of water and how different tones affect water. And when we understand that our body is, they say, between 70 and 80% water, then we can understand how the music that we play can make us physically sick. Also, we could look into what they call muscle testing if you want to know if what you're listening to is really music or if it's weaponized sound. You can just stretch your arm out as you're listening to it. Pure music, you should be able to hold your arm out an indefinite amount of time and never get tired. However, with the weaponized sound, you won't be able to hold your arm up too long because the music itself is weakening your body. I think that's little things like that, that people can kind of see the effect of for themselves rather than it just being hearsay, so to speak. And again,
Susie,
the
cymatics.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll wait.
No, I was just saying, and also look into cymatics, how sound creates patterns. That's like a sound, how it affects dry things. What Mr. Emoto did was with water. So we can what is going on. And speaking of the brother having to cut his locks, do you know that the Pentagon has studied hair? So that, I mean, we think that when we think of war, we don't think of individual parts of our body. But the war machine studies everything, and they have studied hair, what it does, how it does it. So I can understand someone asking the musician that you were talking about to cut his hair.
In the music and movie industry, they are making for some time demands on sisters and brothers, and certainly brothers, to do things that would have never, ever been subjected to them, you know, in the past of our lifetime, including brothers being confronted and offered money to put a dress on. And I saw a famous brother that had something to do with a Barbie doll kind of dressing that they got going on right now with certain people. But anyway, I wouldn't call the brother's name because I said, I hope that this was something Photoshop, and so I wouldn't call his name, but I said, please, please don't let it be true that they have got him to put on a dress. But in any case, I want to also add that when you were talking about the muscle testing, and another word for that is kinesiology, and it's true that as you were talking about that, you could stretch your arm straight out and have somebody try to push your arm down. And if before they interjected the music or either some substance that you would hold in your hand, you'd be able to keep your arm up. But something that weakened or that was in out of harmony with your system, your arm would drop down when somebody pushed it down. And to be aware of all of these things, and thank you also about the Japanese taking these photos of water based on what the person that was, for example, holding the glass of water was vibing on, and if they were smiling, and you looked at a picture. And then if they took a picture of them holding a glass of water and they were frowning, the image of the crystals, the structure, molecular structure that came out using a special kind of camera that was dramatically different. And actually in the cultural history and practices in terms of African rituals and prayer kind of rituals, as some of our wise elders and some of our ancestors talked about, water was a major part of the morning prayer ritual for achieving the goals, including protection and safety for the family and healing and included. And there's specific rituals that some of our people still follow that are not following the invaders, you know, corrupt rituals, and getting very good results. And I want, Sister Q, you close us out, and I want to thank you and for the family members that are on the telephone as well as internet video. I want to thank you, Sister Q, for all of them that they're here, they stayed there, they're listening, they're taking notes, and know that they would be sending you much praise for bringing this very vital information that helps us to have greater clarity and helps us to know what we must do. And please, Sister Q, you go right ahead and give us some final words.
I think I'll go back to Alton Maddox. He said, everything the white folks got out there is war. If you missed that point, you missed everything.
Please say that one more time.
Everything that white folks got out there is war. If you missed that point, you missed everything.
Thank you, Sister Q. Thank you, family. And Sister Q, please come back and be with us again and bring us some more vital information that helps us to have greater clarity about what's going on and what we must do. And family members, Us Lifting Us will be back here next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join us and spread the word and go to the Blog Talk archives, and we will meet up again real soon at the Cultural Center.
Thank you.
Out of the drum we go. As a people, out of the drum we come. Hey. Out of the drum we come. As a people, out of the drum we come, no. Out of the drum. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. The dance. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. Oh, out of the drum. Out of the drum. We come. There's a people here. Everybody dance. Respect yourself.